are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. And our guests work in various professions and are at different stages of their career. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview, or instantly download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for our graphic, Question Reality, and you click that link. Now, this will take you directly to our archive page, and that is where you view the list of all of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section and also on Stitcher.com. You just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box. Now, if you want to find out about our future guest, you have to go to a totally different website, which is our official website. It's questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com, and that's where you'll find all of our guests all the way up until I think July. I think we stopped booking for July. We got a wait list going on. But when you book people too far in advance, by the time 6 months rolls around, they're like on tour, or they've gotten an Oscar and they're like, hell no, I'm not interested in doing your show. We have some problems. So we're trying to hold off 3 to 6 months, no more. If you want to be a guest on our show, please, if you work in the industry professionally and you would love to come on and give our listeners career advice, email me at PriscillaLeona@yahoo.com, PriscillaLeona@yahoo.com. Now, by the way, if you enjoy listening to our show, which I know everyone does, you can help us if you believe in our goal, which is to try to inspire and motivate and educate people on what it takes to pursue a successful career in the entertainment industry. We would love you to please consider helping to support our financial efforts, and you can do this by going directly to our website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, and all you do is click on our Amazon.com link to order all of your Amazon products. So if you're going to go order some oodles and noodles, click on my radio show on the link and order it through our link. And that way we get credit. And this will help us so much with our ongoing financial efforts to keep the show on the air. So again, when you want to shop Amazon, shop through our website on the link, questionrealityradioshow.com. Doesn't cost you anything because you're going to order the product anyway. It just gives us a little, I don't know what it does. It's something behind the scenes or some sort of spy bot. And it says, oh, somebody ordered from Priscilla. Give her some money for the show. I don't know what the hell it does, but that's something that we're doing now. Now, as always, we have a fantastic guest for you today. Very exciting man. He is a gorgeous man, too. A cute little thing. His name is Curtis Rhodes, and he is a composer and a writer. And I want you to go to his websites now and check him out while we're going through the interview. Hopefully, most people can multitask. Me, personally, if I'm talking on the phone, I cannot talk on the phone and text and email. Boy, everybody seems to be able to do it these days. I think anyone under 30 can text, email, talk on the phone, and do a load of laundry. I cannot do it. But apparently, I know you guys can. So his websites are aproperplacethemusical.com, aproperplacethemusical.com, and also beckerandrhodes.com, and that's beckerandrhodes.com. Okay, go to those websites and check them out while you're listening. Now, some of the things we're going to talk about today with Curtis, we're going to ask him things very exciting questions here. We're going to ask him, what is the secret to maintaining his focus or your focus when you're pursuing a career as a composer? We're going to know what the difference between the job of a musical director and a composer is. We're going to know what some jobs in the music industries are for composers and writers, and also email from, I believe, Tina. I don't know who wrote this particular question, but when I announced he was going to be on the show, I got a ton of emails for Curtis, and I picked some questions which we're going to answer in the latter part of the show. But her question was, how is music chosen for television and film? And I thought that was a great question. And we got a whole lot of other must-know questions for the aspiring composer or lyricist that Curtis is going to answer for us today. So if that is a career that you are seeking, you're going to get a lot of great advice from him today. Now, around 5:30, we are going to be playing a musical composition by Curtis Rhodes and Leslie Becker, and it's entitled So Magnificent the Man. Now, I love this title. So Magnificent is the Man. Sounds like something you'd hear in MAME. Yeah, I like that title. I love it, and I can't wait to hear the song. I'll be hearing it along with you guys today at 5:30, so don't go anywhere. You have to stay right where you are. Now, a little bit about Curtis. He began playing the piano by ear when he was 5 years old. Now, you know that's a gift. And after years of participating in choirs and bands and theater venues, he began seriously writing music while studying acting at the Professional Actors Conservatory. Now, ironically, his first foray into composition was incidental music for J.M. Barrie's play, The Admirable Crichton, or Crichton. I'm not sure about that. We're going to have to ask Curtis, it was the source material for A Proper Place, which we'll talk about later, which is his current project. Now, since then, he's written other works for the stage, including specialty numbers for various productions and the 1930s screwball musical A Holiday in Hollywood, in which he wrote libretto, score, and lyrics. And he's also written many piano solos, choral works, and pieces for chamber ensembles, most notably the Amherst Cycle, which is a song cycle using the poetry of Emily Dickinson. How interesting is that? And he is based in Los Angeles, and he's worked as an actor and a musical director with the Grove Shakespeare Festival, PCPA Theater Fest, West Coast Ensemble, Western Stage, Cabrillo Music Theater, and Open at the Top. He has also been a member of the Academy Repertory Company, part of the Academy of New Musical Theater, dedicated to workshopping and developing new musicals. So again, you can check out his websites, aproperplacethemusical.com and beckerandrhodes.com. So, without further ado, let's welcome Curtis Rhodes. How are you, Curtis Rhodes? My God.
Hey, Priscilla. I'm doing really well. I'm just finishing up my laundry here on this multitasking.
See, I knew you were one of the ones that could do it. Did you notice
you know,
that?
And I'm over 30, too, and I can multitask.
I cannot do it. I don't know how people do it. When I talk on the phone, I give 100% focus. I can't text, email, and do other things, but I frequently get friends that call me and they're doing their grocery shopping, they're doing their laundry, they get their car washed, they get a whole oil change, and I'm sitting there the whole time and they're like, they they spent the whole day with me talking and did all their chores. I can't even text. I don't know. There's something wrong with me. I don't know. I might be a little slow, but I can't do all that. I got to just focus on what I'm talking about.
Now, we just say you're concentrated.
I like it. I'm concentrated.
Absolutely.
And focused on the relationship I'm having with you on the phone, and I want to give you my undivided attention. So yeah, that's right. Now you, I always start with this question because people like to see the wave and cycle of your life. So why don't we start when Curtis Rhodes was an itsy bitsy little boy with his little black patent leather shoes and buckles? What did you? I'm just fantasizing here. It's just a fantasy. Curtis, all right. What did you want to be or do? What did you want to do or be when you were a child? You know, I wanted to be Wonder Woman. What did you see yourself doing?
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't have been black patent leather shoes at that time. Actually, they would have been little cowboy boots because I grew up in Texas.
Oh.
You know, I always loved playing. You know, let's pretend. So I wanted to be an actor, and that was what I really wanted to do from a pretty early age. And I grew up in a little town, so there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, got into, you know, in junior high and I was in plays, and in high school I was in plays. And when I went to college at Texas Christian University, and I was a theater major. And so that was my focus. I wanted to, you know, produce theater, be an actor. After I left there, I ended up moving to Los Angeles to be a movie star, which that, of course, did not happen. But I learned a lot along the way, and I ended up going to school, Professional Actors Conservatory in Orange County, and got some excellent training, and through that started writing music.
Well, now that you've told us everything about you, the show is over, and we'll see you later, okay?
thanks. I had a great time.
Oh, so let's go back. When you were a child and you told your parents that you wanted to get, did you have support by your family and friends for your career choice? Were they in the entertainment industry?
Well, let's see. Were they in the entertainment industry? Well, my dad, you know, he produced rodeo in Mineral Wells, where I grew up. So that is, you know,
that's
a form of entertainment. Yeah,
that
it's a form of entertainment.
That is exciting. Oh, he was a macho man. Woo! That's sexy.
He was. But yes, my parents were extremely supportive, you know, of all of my musical and theater activities. Absolutely, they were supportive.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, good. So when you went to college, when you entered, wait a minute, before college, did you do anything in high school, be in a band, you know, do anything musically?
Oh, sure. You know, I was in, you know, well, from junior high, you know, into high school, I was in, you know, marching and concert band. I was in choir all those years. I actually, one year was, made it all the way to the Texas All-State Choir, which was a huge honor and an awesome thing to be part of I think 264 voice choir or something of, like, you know, top high school choral singers in the state. That was amazing. That's one of those, you know, little memories I can kind of replay in my mind, and, you know, if I want to go to a blissful place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, when you finally went to college, did you get degreed in the musical field, or did you get?
You know, I did not. I was, you know, I was a musical theater major at TCU, and I ended up kind of leaving that program after a couple of years, and then moving out to Los Angeles. And the conservatory program I went to, you know, I got an Associate of Arts degree. So that's what I got. But I didn't get any, you know, any music degrees necessarily.
Well, I tell you, most people, it seems like a lot of people who don't get degrees are the ones that end up being multimillionaires. So there you go. It's
well, I'm still waiting on that now.
Now, what, when you got here, did you, what would you come in, the 80s, 90s,
2000s? Well, I'm going to date myself here, but yes, I moved to Los Angeles in 1985.
Oh my God, that was a hot year. That was a hot year for music. I have never moved on from the 80s as far as music.
Oh, really?
I am obsessed with all 80s music. Actually, I don't like anything from, I only like music 90s and before. I don't like anything really after the 90s. I really don't. I mean, there were some sort of songs that piqued my interest. What was the one from Titanic? Here, there, wherever.
My Heart Will Go On.
Yes, I mean, I like that one. I gotta just jump in real quick. We did. My husband is a software developer by day, and then he's a jazz guitarist by night. So he got hired for a band to sing at a wedding. And the song that the singer decided to sing, because they said, go ahead, we'll let you choose the music. And you know how you do the first dance? Well, this wedding singer decided to do that song for the dance, for the first dance. And that song is about death. You don't choose that song. I mean, that's a song about somebody dying. Well, she had a fit, and of course, you know, everybody was fired. But the point is that choosing music is to understand what the lyrics are and to choose music to be appropriate for functions I guess that is a very important job for someone, which leads me into this question that was asked, and I'm going to jump to this because I think that this is appropriate to ask it. Tina from Baltimore, Maryland wrote, hey, Curtis, who chooses the music soundtrack for television shows and movies?
Well, that is, I don't necessarily work in that area, but I would imagine that that is a musical supervisor, you know. Shows, you know, TV shows, and on film, they'll have a musical supervisor who will, you know, pull all of these, let's use, you know, this song, that song, and, you know, placing it in for underscoring, or for, you know, say, there's a scene going on where there's, you know, a character's got something on the radio, you know, so, you know, that kind of music. And so a music supervisor is the person who's going to deal with that and licensing all of the music and, you know, doing that part of it.
Yeah. So that leads me to my next question. John from Stamford, Connecticut, he wrote, dear Curtis, does a script writer have to describe the music in a script? I am a beginning screenwriter, and I don't know if I need to describe the music.
Well, I'm not exactly sure if he means, say, the underscoring in a scene, or if he means, you know, I would say that if, you know, if he's writing a scene, and again, using that example of, say, you know, the character is listening to something on the radio, and he has a specific song, you know, the B-52's Rock Lobster is playing on, you know, on the radio, then, you know, and it's specific that that's what he really wants in that scene, then I would say, yes, you know, you spell that out. But if you're talking about just, you know, underscoring, I've never really seen it in a script where, you know, the music was necessarily described. I think that usually kind of comes a little bit later as they're, you know, the production team is pulling together the project. So whether, you know, the director is going to have kind of some input, you know, and it's amazing what music can really do to a scene. You know, if you're watching, but I've seen some little parodies where they've taken, you know, like, for instance, Mary Poppins. And they took a trailer of Mary Poppins and they swapped out the music and they put like really like, you know, horror movie music underneath it. And it's really amazing. It's like they didn't re-edit the clip. They just put horror music underneath it and how that really changes things. It's pretty fascinating.
It is.
Yeah, so I think that's something, yes, that, you know, the director, you know, is going to talk with the composer about, and, hey, well, what do we want to bring out in this scene? You know, what is, you know, what's another element that we're going to bring to this scene that's going to support what's going on and support the story?
Absolutely. That is true. And they got to just, and they collaborate, I would imagine, with the screenwriter as to what he or she feels too, to figure out what the best music is. Sometimes the screenwriter already knows what song they want. Sometimes they don't have any idea. So it's figured out. The next question I want to get to is from Steve from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he said, "Hey, Curtis, what is the difference between the job of a musical director and a composer?"
Well, the composer is the person who actually, now we're talking on a musical theater project.
Okay.
The composer is the person who writes who actually composes the music, you know, comes up with the melody and the, you know, and everything that goes with it. Whereas the musical director is the person who kind of pulls that all together, you know, and conducts it. So conducts the show. So they would be the one who would say rehearse the cast, you know, teach the music, you know, and this, like the experience I just had recently, you know, working with fantastic music director and. You know, me working as the composer, he was the musical director, and so, you know, I would say, look, I really think this should be interpreted this way. You know, he would listen to what I had to say and then would, convey that to the cast, taught the music, and then conducted the show as it was being performed.
Excellent. That, and again, that's for musical theater. Television and film work a little differently, but not so much, but that was for musical theater. Now, what was your first job composing?
The very first thing that I wrote, well, I was in acting conservatory, and I was doing a production of J.M. Barrie's play, The Admirable Crichton, and mm-hmm. You had asked about how to say that word.
Crichton.
So, J.M. Barrie's The Admirable Crichton, and I was playing the bratty cousin, Ernest, which is a very, very fun role, and we were needing incidental music for it, and I, you know, kind of said, oh, well, maybe I could do that. And then it was, did I really just say that? Oh, yeah, I did. So so that was the first thing then that I really seriously composed. And, so I guess that would have been my first composing job.
Now, you are currently working on, or finished, I'm not sure, you can let me know, a project called A Proper Place, and mm-hmm. I believe there was a book by Leslie Becker and yourself, music, I guess you did the music, and then lyrics were by Leslie Becker, and then you did additional mm-hmm. lyrics, and I understand that you presented an Equity 29-hour reading of the show in New York City this past September, and then you were selected to present a reading of The Proper Place for the Goodspeed Opera House's Festival of the New Musicals in January. Tell me, how was it? What was the experience like? What was the inspiration to do the book, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure.
Take us through.
Sure. Well, and the story goes back a number of years to the early 90s, back when you still liked music. So, as I mentioned, this play, The Admirable Crichton, well, I thought that it would make a fantastic musical. And by the way, J.M. Barrie is the writer of Peter Pan. So we took this play, And I kind of started musicalizing it myself. And I knew Leslie from, we were co-hosts for a cable access show in Los Angeles called Theater Scene many, many years ago. And I was giving a concert of a lot of my piano stuff, and I asked her to sing one of these roles. And because I had three songs from this show. And so she did, and then said, wow, you know, I really like this, and I'd love to help. And I said, well, I'm really looking for a lyricist. So this would have been 1990, I want to say 92, that we really started working on this together. And so 92, 93, getting into 94, we did several stage readings of it, you know, kind of taking it through the development process. And we did a stage reading at San Gabriel Civic Light Opera when they were still going strong at the time, and then also at First Stage in Hollywood. And so kind of after that, we never really caught flight with it. And Leslie ended up moving to New York, where she has a very successful career as an actor. She's done numerous Broadway shows, and also, you know, did work as a writer as well. And so I went on with, you know, doing my thing. Well, this past April, I got a call out of the blue, and I hadn't talked to Leslie for probably, 10 to 12 years. You know, we just had sort of lost touch with each other, but found each other on Facebook again after all those years. And she called me out of the blue, and she said, Curtis, I just found our tape, because that tells you how long ago it was. It was a cassette tape. I just had our cassette tape, and I just listened to it, and I think that it's, you know, we really do have something, and would you like to look at it again? And I said, that is just so weird that you called me, because I swear to you, last week I was walking around my house saying, where is that tape of, you know, of our show? I hadn't heard it, and I just wanted to hear it. So I said, absolutely, let's look at it. And we felt that it was really good timing, because the story is what we say, it's a cross of, it's Downton Abbey meets Gilligan's Island.
Oh, I love it.
So with the huge popularity of Downton Abbey, we felt that this would be, you know, it'd be a great time to pull this back up. So we started doing some work, doing some rewrites. Leslie was doing a production of Somewhere in Time, which they're, you know, getting ready for Broadway, up at Portland Center Stage. And so I flew up to Portland. We did just a table reading using a lot of the cast, just for us to kind of hear it again. And upon hearing it, we just thought, yeah, we really do have something. So again, we just, you know, kept rewriting. We've done, you know, we've written quite a lot of new material for it. We've, you know, restructured the story. We've taken out songs, you know. And so then in September, we produced a 29-hour reading through Equity, which we did at Theater 3 in Manhattan. And so from that, we had, you know, numerous producers and theater people who came to that, and then actually recommended us to Goodspeed Opera House, which they have each year. This was their 9th annual Festival of New Musicals, which was terrifically exciting to get to go and be part of that. I mean, you know, Goodspeed, this is where, you know, Annie started, and Man of La Mancha started, and Shenandoah, you know. So it's a great launching place for new work. So we were there in East Haddam, Connecticut for 2 weeks, really getting to work on our show. The cast, the acting company, is comprised of seniors from Boston Conservatory as well as Hart College. And so we were able to, 2 weeks of rehearsing from, you know, from 10 to 7, and then Leslie and I would go and write until, you know, 2 in the morning, show up the next morning, hey kids, here's a new song, you know, here's new right. pages. And it just gave us the opportunity to really, really work our piece. And then that all culminated on a Saturday night that we got to do a presentation of our show. And very exciting, yeah.
Now, who wrote the play? Was it Leslie that wrote the play? It's a musical. I'm understanding because my information says the project is a Proper Place book by Leslie Becker and Curtis Rhodes, music by Curtis Rhodes, lyrics by Leslie Becker. So who wrote the play? It's a musical play, right?
Yes.
Correct?
So the original play was written in 1902. By J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan. So what we did is we adapted that play. So when it says book by, that means the book of the musical. That means the libretto. So so Leslie and I both have worked to adapt this existing play into a musical.
Got it. So since it's 1902, it's free domain. Correct.
Yeah.
So.
Now, when we first started working on the project back in the early 90s, it actually was not in public domain at the time.
Mm.
So we did acquire the musicalization rights for it. But since that time, I think it did go into public domain in 2007 because that was the 70th anniversary of J.M. Barrie's death. He died in 1937. So the way that the copyright laws are now, it's like, you know, some things is in public domain, I believe it's 75 years from the creator's death. So...
Wow. Okay. So, is it going on tour anywhere, or is it playing anywhere now?
Well, it is. It's playing in my head daily.
Good place for it.
We are in the development process for it right now. So, when we did this 29-hour reading in September in New York, you know, that was really sort of about result of who can we get to come see it. We were trying to, you know, to create some buzz around it and just make people aware of it. Then moving on to Goodspeed, you know, for us, that was really more about process because we had the time that we were really able to work it and work the story and make sure that we were able to streamline what needed to be there and you know, add what we felt we needed to add. So our next step is we're still trying to determine exactly what that is. You know, we're trying to get producers on board right now, and you know, so the next step would kind of be a workshop production of the show, and then once that happens, then you know, you just kind of keep taking all these different steps.
Are you shopping it around now to various theaters or producers?
Yes, absolutely. So we just, you know, we're submitting for various festivals, you know, new musical festivals, you know, so we're hoping, you know, through that way, we're also, you know, working with our contacts of talking with various producers who we know and, you know, working to get people on board for that.
Musical theater producers.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you try Fullerton? I know they just had an original musical theater play thing in January that my girlfriend, who lives in New York, her play was presented there at the Fullerton Original Play Fest. Did you try there?
You know, we have not. We've really been, Leslie's based in New York, and so we've really been, you know, kind of focusing
on New York
efforts more. Yeah. You know, we feel that our show would be a fantastic Broadway show. You know, obviously that would be fantastic. But we would also be thrilled with it being done at, you know, regional theaters around the country as well. So, at this moment, yeah, we're really open to, you know, many scenarios.
Okay. Now, I know that you have several songs already that are... I know when I went to the website, I can't remember which one had the particular song that we're about to play right now, because we're past the 5:30 mark. We're on 5:35. We got to get that song
playing.
So Magnificent the Man, I know when I went to the website, there were many, many songs on that website. Was that a Proper Place the Musical, or was that...
It is. So this song you're going to play, So Magnificent the Man, is from this show we've just been talking about, A Proper Place. And if you go to aproperplacethemusical.com, you can hear our demo. And so what is on there is, you know, this is what we send out, you know, the link that we're able to send out to producers, people who are interested in the show, where they can learn more about it, and they have an opportunity to hear some of the, you know, some of the music from the show.
Okay, so the music is already done. There is a book by the gentleman. Now it's just that the play has to be written. Is that the final process that you...
No. It's all written. I mean, you know, we're rewriting.
It was adapted already from the book into a play. Correct.
Well, it was originally a play, and then we've adapted that play into a musical.
Got it. Okay, so it was a play, and you turned the play, which was non-musical, into a musical, and these are the songs that will be within the play once you...
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, so everyone, we are about to play a musical composition right now by Curtis Rhodes and Leslie Becker entitled So Magnificent the Man. And this is from what hopefully will be a Broadway Tony Award-winning play in the future.
Fantastic.
I think it's coming. So let's listen now to the song by Curtis Rhodes and Leslie Becker entitled So Magnificent the Man. Take it away.
So magnificent the man who's always laying out a plan. Who saved us when this all began, while out at sea? And so magnificent the man who can make use of just a can. So magnificent a man is he.
So magnificent a mate who can be brave and also smart.
Who saved us when we fell apart?
Yes, I agree. He's quite magnificent, a man who stood there bravely when I ran. So magnificent a man is he.
No wonder the ladies all secretly watch him and swoon with delight when he reads from his book under dim firelight. He's never afraid to stand up for what's right or go out on a limb.
If I were a lady,
perhaps I'd want him.
Well, I was just jesting.
Whatever happened to you and the Gov?
Weren't you two keeping company?
I was never quite of a proper station for him, and now that he's our Gov, there's even less of a chance. But I won't give up hope, Daddy. So magnificent a heart, who always treated me so kind. Now there's no chance I'll ever find someone like him. Just as it began, he's still magnificent a man to me.
He is ever an elegant leader, and my, how his strength does inspire. He's someone who I must admit I admire. It's hard to remember the man that he was and the tailcoat he wore.
Since now
he is so much more. As magnificent a man.
As magnificent.
As magnificent a man.
As magnificent.
As he.
Wow! Oh my God, I love it! I totally hear Liza singing that.
You hear who?
Liza! Liza McKinley! What? Oh, my God.
Liza!
I can hear Liza rocking that. I hear her rocking the Casbah with that song. Oh, my gosh! So this is wonderful. Who are the singers? We want to give credit to the singers on there.
My goodness. You know, and you would ask me that. And, of course, Leslie ended up producing this, and I'm afraid I do not know their names.
Bad boy. Oh, boy.
I know. They were actors. Leslie was on tour with, she was in the national tour of Anything Goes, and she ended up doing this while they were on the road. So I'm so sorry. I don't.
That's okay. Maybe next time, write it down, because you're going to be doing many interviews and you want to get the names to give them some credit. Okay.
Absolutely.
Woo! Now, so that is a really fantastic song. I love that song. I really do.
Oh, thank you.
That was written
after the 90s.
I know. I can't believe I like it. No, musical theater, that's different. I'm talking about pop disco, nothing after 90s. But musical theater music transcends time and space. I mean, you can't put a stamp on it for me. I mean, I just love it no matter what decade. My aunt was an actress on Broadway, so I love my musical theater, love it. Now, question for you from, I got to get these in there or else they'll be sending me, I'll be getting threats. How this comes from Bradley from Seattle, Washington. He said, what have you learned from your past jobs that helped you be the composer you are today? I like that question, Bradley.
What have I learned? Well, let's see. I guess I've learned that to be flexible, and to really make sure, say when writing for musical theater, because that's pretty much what I do, unless it's like piano stuff, but that story is very important. And you want to make sure when you're creating a musical number that it is something that is really serving the story and telling the story in the best way possible.
What is your process? How, say someone comes to you with an original play, what is your process for composing music for each scene?
Let's see. Well, you know, I think this play that we adapted, you know, for the process of, would be like, oh, here's the scene that happens. Okay, well, how can we musicalize that? Well, then I kind of start with what would the feeling be? What feeling do I want to elicit? Do I want it to be, you know, and what would need to happen here in terms of the show, like in that moment? Do we need something big and bombastic and exciting, or does it need to be a quiet moment? You know, I think it depends on what is the scene and what are you trying to convey. So my process then would be, okay, I would take that feeling, I sit down, and I start just kind of improvising on the piano to kind of create the mood that I want. And then usually out of that, a melody will sort of, come to me. Now, when we were working together all those years ago at the beginning, I used to do all of the music first, and then I would pass it off to Leslie, and then she would write lyrics to the music. But, you know, she's really kind of changed in her process as well over the years, and she, really likes to write the lyrics, and so, kind of first. And so, as we've been working together, we do it sort of both ways. Sometimes she'll say, hey, look, for instance, So Magnificent the Man that we just heard, she wrote the lyrics to that first and sent that off to me. And so I look at the lyrics and then I kind of start, seeing what kind of a melody that they fall in my brain. And then I came up with that one. And
wow.
Then it's sort of a little back and forth of, of refining it.
Now, since do you just play piano, or do you play other instruments?
I do. Well, when I was in junior high, I used to play the trumpet, but I haven't done that for many, many years. just piano. I want to learn to play the accordion, and I want to play the clarinet too. But I just haven't learned those yet.
So as a composer, you start with piano. How do you, if you don't play all of the other instruments fluently, how do you write those instruments into the song?
Well, I have that in my, I can hear, certain things, certain instruments in there. Now, sort of the next step in the development, when we move to a production, then, I would work with an orchestrator to actually orchestrate the whole thing. So right now what we've got is, I have a piano vocal score. So I've got, like all of the vocal parts are written out, and then there's a piano accompaniment. And so, that next step, working with an orchestrator, then, I would say, hey, look, here's another little, counter melody line that I hear, and I hear, a violin, that orchestrator may say, that's great, or what if you try this, and they would bring their expertise to the project.
Oh, got it. So there's a lot of involvement with musical people for this production. And then there'll probably be a musical director and a whole bunch of other people that are going to come in on it, right?
Yeah, it's a hugely collaborative process. And and thank goodness, because, the writing process. Another show that I wrote, that I did the music, the book, and the lyrics, I did the whole thing all by myself, and that was really, really hard and very lonely, and I have to say I much prefer having collaborators in the process, because you can bounce off, ideas off of one another.
Right.
And, whereas when you're doing it all by yourself, you kind of can tend to be in a vacuum,
right.
And then you're like, oh, well, did I just, and you might go, oh, I just wrote something brilliant, and then you play it the next day, and you're like, oh, well, that's a big old piece of crap, but,
the
reverse, oh, this is awful, it's awful, and then you play it for somebody, and they're like, I love that song, so.
Well, I meant to ask that question of Michael Orlin. Do you know who Michael Orlin is? He's the musical, he's on American Idol. I don't want to get his title wrong. I think he's the assistant musical director. But anyway, he does a lot of work for various plays, like Pantos and things like that. He just did, he did Snow White. At the El Portal Theater, and he does everything. That man does it all. But anyway, that was a question that I should have asked him, and I'm asking you, and now I got to make a note when he comes back on to ask him that question, because I don't know how he does it, because he does all the music for these big plays that were just at the El Portal, and I think he does it all. And I'm like, how the heck does he do it? Because he normally does plays piano, but he might play other instruments, so I didn't check that out. Now, because it probably is a lonely process, I would think it's more fun doing it with a whole bunch of people. So, okay, so I want to know, we got to go, but I want to know what exactly is coming up in 2014. Are you just focusing on this project, or you got anything else going on that you want to tell us about?
Well, definitely focusing on this project, and because there's a lot of momentum behind it right now. And so, so that's where a lot of focus is going. Leslie and I are starting to look at what our next project together is going to be. And so we've got a few ideas, so I can't really say anything just yet because we haven't exactly nailed that down. But definitely working on, starting to write our next project so that once, we've got something else in the pipeline once this kind of, gets into a fuller production.
Right. Okay. Well, hey, I have a very good friend, John Lippitz, whose sister is, I believe, in New York. She has a production company called Amanda Lippitz Productions, and it's a full-service production company specializing in theatrical productions. They did the Broadway version of Legally Blonde and Gork and I think Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and oh my gosh, she's done anything. So check out her website, Amanda Lippitz Productions, and if you're interested, I'll do an introduction for you. I don't know what'll happen, but I can at least help you. She does the original Broadway play, The Performers, with Henry Winkler and Cheyenne Jackson and Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, wow.
So she's pretty big in New York City, so I would be more than happy to help you. So have Stephen Lucen contact me, or you contact me yourself. I just sent you a Facebook request, so we can talk via Facebook, and if you want me to.
Fantastic, and I accepted it already, so we're, now we're Facebook friends, too.
Oh, yay! All right, my darling, well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Good luck with your project, A Proper Place. Love the music, and we look forward to seeing it on Broadway for sure.
Thank you so much, Priscilla. I had a great time, and thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Check out Curtis Rhodes, aproperplacethemusical.com. Say goodbye to your fans.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. See you next week.
All right.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.